Today from the Flathead City County Health Department, we have the immunization program people going to keep us from getting sick. Jill Bowl and Mackenzie Gress. Morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good Hi. Morning. Morning, John and Robin. Well, so thanks for having us. My name is Jill Bowl. I'm a public health nurse for Flathead City County Health Department.
And I'm Mackenzie Gress, also one of the nurses down there.
One of the nurses down there?
Yeah. Okay. Down the way. other first half.
I went in to get a booster shot. And do you guys give the booster shots?
We do, yeah. There's about six of us nurses down there.
Maybe it was you that gave me one. This was some time back.
We've been there for a while and have definitely gave our fair amount of shots, so very well.
Do you have any estimate as to how many of those booster shots you've given?
Gosh, I wish so badly we would have, like, for every shot we have given, like, put a jelly bean in a jar or something. We probably would have, like,
thousands.
Yeah, no, many years of hard work. And today we wanted to briefly touch base on, we have our annual back-to-school walk-in immunization clinics. We have one starting tomorrow, August 17th. We also have some on August 24th, 26th, 29th, and September 14th. So all clinics will be from 3 to 6 p.m. except Friday, August 26th, which will be from 8 to noon. But in Montana, there are immunizations required to attend school. If children are fully up to date on their infant vaccines, the new immunizations are required for kindergarten and seventh grade entry. However, we will see all ages if the child is missing a school-required shot or is behind schedule. So definitely wanted to highlight that.
Who keeps the records on that sort of thing?
How do we keep records on it?
Well, who does? Who keeps the records? The parents or the school or you guys?
So a little bit of both. People who are coming out of state, you know, hopefully they have their record elsewhere. Yeah. But anytime anyone gets a shot with us, we always put it in our Montana State immunization system. So say you were moved over to Shelby, Montana. They have access to it. Everyone has access.
You know, I have no idea what shots I've had. My doctor says take it, I take it.
Yeah.
But no, as far as there is a record somewhere of that.
So, I mean, in Montana or?
Well, I mean, here, yeah, yeah.
So we might have some old school.
Well, John, you're old.
Typically, we try to put everything in the system.
They've probably moved that paperwork to a storage facility somewhere.
I bet we have you on especially if you got your booster.
Yeah. Well, we've, I know in the military, I've still got it somewhere, this yellow booklet that has all my shots records. I mean, they shot me up in the military. I couldn't believe it. My arms were so sore for weeks.
Both arms, right?
Yeah. And then when I went to Vietnam, they did the same thing. And then when I came back, they did the same thing.
Yeah, well.
They wanted you super protected.
Yeah. Well, they wanted, I think, other people protected from me when I came back.
Now, what immunizations are required for kids going back to school?
Yeah, so for kindergartners, if they're already up to date on all those infant vaccines, they're actually just finishing a couple of those series. So finishing their DTaP, their polio, their MMR, which is measles, mumps, and rubella, and their varicella, which is chickenpox.
So polio still is vaccinated for, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a vaccine that goes in the muscle, so it's not that oral polio that we used to use, but this is an inactivated polio virus vaccine. Mm-hmm. And in the nation, we are actually seeing some polio cases, which is pretty concerning.
Yeah,
definitely a requirement.
In Rockland County, New York, this is an area that's, they have religious reasons for it. And boy, they don't take any vaccinations. And man, do they get sick there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, polio, when we were kids, was struck fear into the heart of every mother because, we remember the March of Dimes, you know.
My mother would not let me. She didn't like me going swimming at the Bruckhauser pool, the old Bruckhauser pool at Woodland Park when I was a kid, because she was scared I'd get polio from some kid in the water. I mean, that was a big pool, you know, if you remember that back then. And, but I went anyway, and I survived. But I got to tell you, when they first came out with the vaccine, I must have been about 6 or 7 years old. I was in line over at the Linderman School in the gym there to get that shot.
See, and I remember.
And then later, the sugar cube. Yeah. Is it you mentioned?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I remember getting the shots at school also, lining up and getting the polio shots, you know, and that's why the pushback against the COVID thing was a little bit hard to relate to. So anyway, these shot clinics, what are the dates again?
Yeah, so we do have it posted on our website, flatheadhealth.org. We have a big flyer. But starting tomorrow, we have one August 17th, and then the 24th, 26th, 29th, and then we do have one more on September 14th, roughly 3 to 6 p.m. for all of them, besides Friday the 29th.
Now, are there multiple shots needed, or are these just each day is a clearinghouse to get people caught up?
It's just going to depend on maybe like if you're on a if you're behind or on a catch-up schedule, but typically for kindergarten, they really only need, if they're up to date, two shots, and seventh graders have a school required at least one shot, but typically we offer at least three around that age.
Yeah. I want to dive a little deeper into what those shots actually require right after this.
Okay.
Today, our guests are from the Flathead City County Health Department, the immunization program people, Jill Ball and Mackenzie Gress. Okay, so I think we covered pretty much what the kindergarten kids use, but it's a little more for the seventh graders.
Yeah, so seventh grade is really the other age for school where we see new vaccines required. We consider these our teen vaccines, and those three vaccines that we offer at this age are HPV, meningitis, and then the school-required Tdap.
Now, so what is Tdap?
Tdap, so it's tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. It's actually the same diseases as the Dtap that those kids were getting. It's just a different formulation. So this becomes our adolescent and adult formulation, more tetanus.
All right.
I got to get one of those. I've been, my doctor's been harping at me, and I'm, oh, I'll do it.
Every 10 years. So after the seventh grade dose, and every 10 years, we want to see people getting boosted.
I think I'm about 5 years overdue here.
Well, come see us.
Well, I will. Yeah.
Well, see, I have enough accidents that I get caught up in between.
Robin never met a sheet of ice he ever missed.
That's right.
And then I wanted just to highlight the other two vaccines in addition to that Tdap. So the HPV vaccine, that protects against 9 strains of human papillomavirus, which is responsible for causing cancer in boys and girls, as well as genital warts. So definitely one we want to see early. We look at all vaccines are preventative. So we want to make sure that we're getting people immunized before they're ever exposed. So really important at this age to see those
HPV. Is that
HPV.
One maybe older people should get too? Yeah.
So typically it's through age 26. After age 26, we consider it shared clinical decision making. So if there's risk factors there, then yes. But for most adults, they've already been exposed to HPV at that point. Vaccines are definitely most protective if we can get it
it's
before.
It's like wearing the seatbelt on before you drive the car.
Essentially.
Yep, and the other teen vaccine is the meningitis vaccine. So the vaccine they get at this age protects against 4 strains of meningitis, which is that bacterial infection of the brain and spinal cord.
Boy, that is one when that got loose on a college dorm a few years ago. And man, that was awful.
Yeah, pretty scary disease. It can move pretty quickly and cause brain damage, loss of limbs, pretty significant
one. It causes swelling of the brain, I believe. Yeah, that's not good. I've got a limited amount of space.
Yeah.
And then spread through
that
saliva.
That one took a minute, Robin.
So, like, thinking of close quarters when you're in dorms, sharing sodas, sharing chapstick, kissing boys, puts you at slight risk, you
kissing
know.
Kissing boys.
Or
okay.
girls.
Yeah.
Girls or boys.
Yeah. I was wondering if I would be safe, but
they used to call what was it, mononucleosis, the kissing disease.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that very prevalent anymore? I mean, not I know kissing still is, but mono.
Yeah, mono definitely. Right? We don't have a vaccine for it, but we definitely still see mono.
They say you don't share certain things.
Saliva.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You guys are getting into this now. It's a serious, serious thing. But what about adults? I mean, I know that's not part of what you guys are talking about today, but adults, are there some things we should be aware of too?
Well, I mean, right now, if you are eligible for COVID-19, we still are offering that every Tuesday. But other things besides COVID, because we hear so much about that, just making sure, like, your tetanus, like we talked about. If you're over 65, thinking about pneumococcal pneumonia, and then shingles.
Ooh. Oh, that Shingrix.
Mm-hmm. See, I
have you been
have
able to keep that in stock now?
Yes. A couple years ago, I remember being on the radio with you guys, and we were like hard to get.
I still haven't gotten around to that one.
I would.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I will tell you that second shot will get you, though.
Yeah, okay. It can for some people.
Yeah. The first one was a breeze for me, but boy, that second one laid me down for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just a day. And it wasn't horrible, but nonetheless, it beats the heck out of shingles.
Okay, now,
absolutely.
When we're talking about the vaccinations or immunization for kids, you mentioned chickenpox. Mm-hmm. And there was some information that perhaps that vaccination was effective to a certain degree against monkeypox. Also, do you have any information?
Yeah, so not for the varicella vaccine. So chickenpox and monkeypox are actually completely unrelated. Other than the word pox. So it's actually part of the smallpox family.
Oh.
So separate families, but it is the smallpox vaccine that is effective with monkeypox.
Now, are children still getting smallpox vaccinations?
No, so they don't routinely get the smallpox, just the chickenpox vaccine routinely.
And I guess that's because we thought we had it licked, but there are a few cases of it cropping up here and there now.
Yeah.
Not here, locally.
No. No, we did get a monkeypox case here. Are we vaccinating for that yet?
So Flathead County has a limited supply of vaccine that is available to those who are contacts of someone with monkeypox or who are at risk of high risk of becoming into contact with someone with monkeypox. Mm-hmm. So if someone knows or believes they could be at risk right now, we're asking the community just to please see our website at flatheadhealth.org. Click the vaccine eligibility form to review a list of risk categories and submit that form because it's just such a limited supply.
Well, there are those who travel still, and there are things you have to do these days before you travel. Robin's going to ask you about that after this.
Our guests this morning, Jill Bull and Mackenzie Grass from Flathead City County Health. They administer the vaccinations, among other things there. And, you know, one of the nightmare aspects of COVID-19 was when they opened up the border crossing requiring results, and those results couldn't be too old. It was just a nightmare. You guys have a solution for that now for travel PCR and rapid antigen testing, huh?
Yes, it's been kind of months of trying to prepare for this, but we finally got our machines. So just this last month, we received a grant that allowed us to purchase two machines to test for COVID-19, only for travel-related purposes. So we can offer PCR testing for somebody who may need that based on where they're traveling at $45, and we can offer a rapid within like a 24-hour test for $25. These are same-day results. Testing, again, is for just travel purposes only, and right now we do it by appointment.
Okay, now the rapid test, that isn't like the thing where you swab and put it in, is it? It's the same one that we have free test kits for.
Yeah, it's very, very, very similar to our free at-home test. The only difference is some countries or conferences require a healthcare provider to observe.
Okay.
So that's what that piece is.
Because you're attesting to it, and that's what they take to the border crossing.
Yep.
You can't just take the thing with you.
Yeah, here it is. Oh, man.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe your dog. Never mind. You swab your dog's nose.
Jeez. Okay. Well, so that's good. $45 for the PCR, $25 for the rapid antigen. Now, do you have to schedule the appointment for this? This is not a particular day.
Yep. So we pretty much offer them Monday through Friday just based on our schedule. Our scheduler knows, you know, how busy we are and what that works best. But pretty much we've been able to get everyone in who is going to be traveling.
That's something you guys do anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago, I went to Guatemala.
Yeah.
And I came in to see you guys, and you knew exactly what I had to take to, you know, not just to be legal there, but just to be safe and not bring anything back.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, traveling out of country, be sure you go to the...
Yeah, we do offer a full travel consultation program with a registered nurse who does basic all education, not just provide specific vaccines like yellow fever and malaria, but...
So it'd probably be best to call ahead, schedule
for something like that. Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But boy, I tell you, in this day and age, if you're traveling out of the country, you better make sure you've got all your shots, because it would be horrible if you brought something back.
Right. And every country just is a little different. And so we can help kind of navigate and coordinate. And it's a little stressful when people go way overseas.
So, you know, if you're traveling to Uruguay or something, I could come in and find out what. And I think I was thinking of Uruguay because they don't do the... never mind. Whatever they call it, the making you come back if you've been bad.
Yeah. Never mind.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not a medical term. Don't.
That's right.
Extradition.
We sometimes
yeah,
vary
extradition.
Off
there you go. See, words
yeah,
are
say, hey, hey, yeah. yeah
words are playthings to right. me. I'm paid.
Yeah, the big deal here is the big thing this morning, the takeaway is get your shots.
And
you
the
know,
kids.
Oh, I want to ask you one more thing. There's a talk about COVID shots this fall for the new variants. Are we even close to doing something like that yet?
Yeah, so once that's developed and approved, then we would be able to administer those. There's a lot of talk about that coming out possibly around October, but that's really not for sure yet. Okay. So anyone that is eligible for boosters, we always recommend for them to just come in now because we're not exactly sure when that Omicron-specific booster will be ready. But mm-hmm. once it is ready, there is talk that we'll be able to
So we're like that. 6 months out on our boosters now. You know, we should probably wait, huh?
So if you've already had a second booster, if you're over the age of 50 and you've already had a second booster, you're good to go for now. That's really all there is.
Really? That doesn't, these new BA.5 and .6 and whatever?
Until we hear exactly what that, when okay. that put that new variant in and they'll figure out the intervals, like the CDC and all the guidance.
Before we leave you, flu shots.
Yeah, it's about that time.
Mm-hmm. Will you guys be doing a flu shot clinic this year like you've done
yes.
before?
Oh, yes. Yep. On Wednesday, October 5th, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
We will do our annual flu clinic at the fairgrounds.
Oh, okay. Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's the one where you just drive through and they punch you in the arm, right?
So we
you have to go inside.
It is go inside. Okay. Unless you have mobility issues, then we will offer.
Well, when that gets a little closer, we'll have you guys back talk about that. All right, from the Flathead City County Health Department, we have the immunization program people, Jill Bowl and Mackenzie Grass. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much for
having
us.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Robin.